Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The Hockey Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head to cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times your money in NBA, NHL, college basketball, and more. Sign up today using promo code HGP to get a 100% deposit match. And finally, we're brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today. Hello and welcome to the Hockey Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ryan Gilbert. Joining me tonight is my co-host, Joel Meyer. How are we doing today, Joel?
Yes, yes. Good to be back. A couple days off. I guess we got to go back to the weekend. It's funny how people are complaining that this March Madness tournament isn't that great because we're not seeing all these ones and twos going down to the stupid teams. But you know what? I think that's a good thing because look at the schedule we've got going on. We got the good teams playing the good teams. We don't have no fucking minus 10, minus 11 favorites. I mean, for the most part, we got UConn against San Diego State, but UConn will be a big favorite against most teams. So we got some hell of a matchups. I mean, let's get the bad teams out early. That's my thought. So we can actually get the good matchups. Like last year with the final four, what was it? Florida Atlantic, Miami, San Diego State, and UConn. The only one, there was one good team and they just rolled everyone. I mean, is that entertaining? That's not entertaining to me. I want to see the good teams play the good teams, not just a team just rolling through on an easy path. So, yeah, we had some nice upsets. Like Kentucky went down, Auburn went down. Doesn't that satiate your thirst for seeing the good teams go down to the underdogs? I satiated my thirst. I don't want to see the good teams play the good teams at the most important times of the tournament, and that's what we're going to get because we got a ton of good teams left. Every one and two seed are still alive, and we're in good shape going forward from both a betting perspective and an entertainment perspective. So, yeah, those guys can suck my nut who are just whining about, oh, there's not enough upsets. Fuck off.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's fun to see a top seed be threatened maybe in the first weekend, but there's so many games going on, you don't necessarily need an upset. And like, yeah, this weekend, what? There's one game on at a time. So if it's like a 12 seed against a 2 seed, like UConn against San Diego State, whoever they're playing, it's going to be not necessarily too riveting, but these matchups should be good. Yeah, I know it's been relatively chalky so far, which is good for my few futures I have as well.
Yeah, for sure. UConn's going all the way, baby. Hockey's been good, relatively good relative to the last month anyway. Finally scraped out a winning week last week, so that was nice despite one of the worst betting days of my season here on Thursday But thankfully, the weekend was just good enough to get me across the line.
Yeah, well, yeah, hockey better for me has been up and down as well. Saturday was bad. Sunday, Monday were good. Last night, I had some good live looks, but nothing too good. I took Habs plus 2.5, but did nothing to sprinkle them on the money line against the Avalanche.
Oh, man, that was a bad bet by me. I mean, I had the Avalanche and the Stars in the money line parlay, thinking that both teams would roll these bad teams. Stars did their job, but the Avalanche, I don't know, they scored early on and a minute in, mm-hmm. and I think they just thought that they would just cruise to a victory. And then by the time they realized, oh, we're in a game, it was too late. But Montembeau played a hell of a game. And yeah, that's good for the Habs getting to the points totals over from the beginning of the season, at least.
Yeah, Habs are sneaky. The Flyers got on tomorrow. We'll talk about that. But Habs are, you know, a team that you can't count out in any game, really. They show up. They keep it close. Force overtime if they have to. So, yeah, Habs are tough. Well, maybe they'll make the playoffs in the next one. Was it 4 years, Talon said? 3-4 years?
4 years. I'm assuming that counts the fourth year as the season, because, yeah, otherwise it'd just be three. But, yeah, that's an easy bet by me. I mean, what? They're going to be they're definitely going to be like even money in one of these seasons. So it's not a bet by myself. But yeah, the Habs are rising. They're doing a great job with Kent Hughes as the GM. Getting a lot of draft picks, a lot of quality picks. And yeah, I trust the team to make a run here in the next 4 years at least.
Yeah, I thought about betting the money line yesterday because that was St. Louis' first game back, right, behind the bench?
Yeah, yeah, they did it for the gaffer. Yeah. I think they had something to do with his son or whatever, but good to know that everything's going well there.
Yeah, should have had the narrative play there. All right, of course, you're listening to the Hockey Gambling Podcast, but SGPN is home to 20 plus gambling podcasts, all completely free. And March Madness, we're featuring the Sports Gambling Podcast flagship SGPN, hosted by Ryan Real Money Kramer and Sean Stacking the Money Green, where the guys have picked every tournament game against the spread since 2012. And of course, check out the College Basketball Experience with Colby Dant, aka Pick Dundee, Ryan Moneyline Mac, and producer Noah B, as they continue their unmatched coverage of college basketball betting. I think they had a college hockey show as well, so make sure you check that out. So subscribe today to the Sports Gambling Podcast and the College Basketball Experience wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Rachel. I'm going to get into this big 14 game slate here for Thursday, March 28th.
Yes, sir.
All right, kicking us off here at the 7 p.m. time slot, we have the New York Islanders at the Florida Panthers. Game itself is in Florida. Panthers are minus 198. Islanders are plus 164. Over-under is at 6, overpaying off minus 115, with the under at minus 105 here. I'll kick this one off. Panthers haven't looked too great recently. They got a win against the Flyers on Sunday, where Felix Sandstrom just could not stop a beach ball in net. They got outshot 33-15, just blew a – was it – were they up 3-0 against the Bruins? No, they were up 3-2, and then Bruins scored too late, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
But they've now lost 5 of their past 6, all to playoff teams, Boston, Rangers, Nashville, Tampa Bay, Carolina. But this could be a sneaky spot for the Islanders. I saw Varlamov's already confirmed to start. They've really struggled recently, one win in their past 8 games. But I could see this, you know, a sneaky dog play, plus 164. Not trusting the Panthers too much right now at minus 198. Plus, I do have some money for them to win the division and the President's Trophy, so not going to add any more here at minus 200. So just a slight lean to the Islanders if I had to play a side, and then probably a lean to the under as well. Panthers unders have been great besides the past 2 games or so.
Definitely appreciate the dog look here now that it's gone up to minus 198. It's a bit too steep to lay the Panthers with how they've been playing lately. Yeah, you mentioned the President's Trophy race, the division race. The Panthers kind of letting us down in that respect. Plus, the Rangers just keep fucking winning games, and the Bruins pulling that one out of their ass. That one hurt. So yeah, I still lean to the Panthers, but at minus 198, it's getting a little bit too steep. I mean, the Islanders are kind of a wild card right now. It's hard to nail this team down. Like, when I bet on them, they lose. When I bet against them, they win. Yeah, they're a tricky team, so I'm not exactly too confident in his side right now. The Islanders still are in the playoff mix. Now they're like minus 700 to miss, but I'm not sure if that's quite accurate. I still think that they're in the mix with how difficult schedule the Capitals have left, the Red Wings have left, and the Flyers have an easy schedule. But yeah, they just need to pass one of those teams and they're in. So yeah, I mean, the Islanders could show up here, but the Panthers, you know, after that blowing that loss, I mean, you got to figure the Panthers got to get going here at some point, going into the playoff stretch. Yeah, -190 is just too much delay now. But I do like the under six, -105. I think that's pretty cheap considering how the Panthers play, how the Islanders play. Got two good goalies in that, presuming it's Bobrovsky and Varlamov. Yeah, under six, I think, would be the best bet at the current odds. Yeah, so that's where I'm going. Panthers, slight lean, but I'm not laying -198 and the under six, -105.
Yeah, I'm shocked to see the Panthers past 10 games have the third worst expected goal share at 5-on-5. Now they played some tough opponents there, but I mean they outshot the Lightning 50-15 in that one game. You think that would at least weight it down a little bit?
Yeah, they've not been playing to their level. Well, they were missing Barkov in a few of those games, but he's back now, so that's encouraging at least.
Yeah, I wonder if there's any like trade they added Tarasenko and Okposo. So I don't know if there's any maybe chemistry issues there. I don't know. All right, going down to 7 o'clock again. Here we have the Philadelphia Flyers at the Montreal Canadiens. Game itself is in Montreal, Le Bleu Blanc et Rouge. Canadiens are +130, Flyers are -155. Over under is at six, overpaying off -108 with the under at -112. Flyers finally get a little reprieve from their gauntlet of a schedule. They played seven straight games against quite possibly the top five teams in the East or so: Boston, Florida, Carolina, Toronto, Rangers in there. Now they get to go up to Toronto up to Montreal after a tough overtime loss against the Rangers, where they were the better team. They've been the better team in pretty much every one of these games during the 7-10 game stretch. So I think the Flyers get it done here. Coming off back-to-back losses, should be Sam Ersten in net, I would imagine. Flyers are getting healthy. Drysdale and Nick Seeler both skated with the team on Tuesday morning, so they could be back soon. And also Montreal coming back from a long road trip, six in a row on the road, last one being in Colorado. So coming down from that altitude, they've been getting outplayed. I think the Flyers here, -155, are pretty good look and a lean to the under.
Right, you said it all. Montreal coming back from the West Coast. I've had a big win against the Avalanche, just playing 2 days later. At home on a Thursday night, kind of sleepy. Flyers have a lot more to play for. That's factored into the line somewhat, but maybe not enough. So, yeah, Flyers here, -155. I'm all over that. Like the under as well. Nothing much more to say. Yeah, I think the Flyers are a much better team. And you're right. They should have beat the Rangers. They just – like, they had so many fucking odd man rushes in that game. Like, the Rangers, I don't know how they keep getting away with it. The Flyers would have won that game by 2 or 3 goals, but Ersten was actually decent too, so you can't even blame the goaltending. It was just Rangers getting fucking luck boxing all the way around, and now they're even money to make the to win the President's Trophy. That's no good. But yeah, love the Flyers here. I think they get back on track and solidify their position as the true third seed in the Metro Division.
Yeah, it could be a first. I mean, maybe not if the Rangers win the Metro. It could be a first-round matchup. Flyers-Rangers would be pretty fun there. Going down to 7 o'clock again, we've got the Columbus Blue Jackets at the Pittsburgh Penguins. Game itself is in Pittsburgh. Penguins are -225. Penguins on the puck line, +105. Blue Jackets, +185. The over-under at 6.5, overpaying off -118 with the under at -102. Joel, what do you got for this shit game?
Well, the Blue Jackets just come back from their own road trip. Their really pitiful performance again against the Coyotes. I mean, the Blue Jackets, they're the worst third period team in the league, and you see it every freaking game. So, I'm not much of a live bettor, but if you see the Blue Jackets ahead or tied going into the third period, you just bet against them, and that's cash money. Penguins, meanwhile, nice win against the Hurricanes. Did not expect that one. Lost some money there. Thankfully, they blew it against the Avs. That was nice with Nathan MacKinnon dominating the third period and overtime. But yeah, right now, I think you got to go with the Pens. Blue Jackets are a far inferior team, and the Penguins are still, I don't know, playing for pride or whatever. Penguins in regulation, I don't know, -140, -150, something like that is something I would find palatable. And the under 6.5 with the way that the Penguins are playing lately, good goaltending, not a lot of offense, and the Blue Jackets going to be pretty bone tired after coming back from that road trip. So yeah, lean to the under. Haven't bet that, but I did bet the Penguins in regulation.
Yeah, if you bet a side here, it has to be Pittsburgh. Columbus coming back from that road trip, like you said. A lot of injuries now. Boquist, Chanikov, Nylander questionable. Fantilli's obviously still out. Pittsburgh is more or less healthy with the pieces they still have. Coming off a big 4-1 win. Two of those goals were empty netters, so closer than the score suggests there. But when they win, they tend to win by at least two goals. And when Columbus loses, they tend to lose by at least two goals. So if I'm betting this one, it would be Pittsburgh on the puck line at plus 105. Lean to the under. Columbus can't score, and I can't see Pittsburgh putting up more than four themselves. All right, go down to 7 o'clock time slot again. We have the Washington Capitals at the Toronto Maple Leafs. Game itself is in Toronto. Maple Leafs are minus 185. Capitals are plus 154. Over-under is at 6.5, overpaying off minus 102, with the under at minus 118. I wish Talon was here. Get some finger on the pulse of the Leafs right now, but I'm kind of leaning to the Caps here in this one at plus 154. I think it is getting a bit high. Leafs have lost two straight games at Carolina and then at home against the Devils. And they did outplay the Devils pretty good there, outshot them 45-24, but Samsonov questionable, Morgan Riley questionable, which might be a good thing for the Leafs. Marner still out, Jungkraak still out, Edmondson out, and Washington just will not go away. Washington plays solid hockey. I know Toronto beat them 7-3 in D.C. last week, but could see a revenge factor here. I think Capitals have more to play for as well. So I'll lean that way, a plus 154, and then a slight lean to the over 6.5 as well at minus 102. It was a 7-3 game last week, and both teams are capable of scoring the puck.
I'm going chalky here. I know the Capitals need this game a lot more than the Maple Leafs do. Maybe they just take the game off, but I think the Maple Leafs C-plus game is good enough to beat the Capitals A game at this point. The line is getting steamed. Minus 185. I think it's just too much to pay right now, so I can see maybe coming back on the dog. Lean to the under, I guess, as well, with the way the Capitals play. They want to drag opponents down to their shitty level. But to give the Capitals credit, they're playing a lot better the past month than they were the rest of the season. And that's why I want to talk about the Jack Adams. This is the platform for me to go off on the Jack Adams right now. Cause Spencer Carberry is all the way down to 2-1 in some places, which is absolutely fucking mad. Paul Bissonnette threw a question out saying that if the Capitals get in, Carberry get coach of the year? And I think that is a large reason why the odds have plummeted. People are just banging off that. I mean, this guy, Paul Bissonnette, he's supposed to be a friend of Rick Tocca, and he's suggesting that Spencer Carberry wins the award. That's concerning for all of us talking bettors. So I've been heavily invested in Tocca from the beginning of the year, before the year. And I had to divest some of my investments in Tocchet. I had to get rid of some of the profits, but I'm sure I'm coming. I'm still 90% sure that Tocchet's going to win the award, but I can't sustain. I can't endure the stress of this award. I got north of 50 units involved in the Jack Adams at this point. This award is a fucking breaking my balls. And now that Spencer Carberry has come out of nowhere to emerge as a competitor, I had to get off of some of that. So it's not quite enough to cover all my other, but actually no, at this point I bet Carberry again 12-1 today, 25-1 after their win against the Jets on Sunday. So yeah, Carberry is still a little bit of a profit. I still want Tocca to win, but I don't see him winning. I did some research today, going all the way back to 1995. No team with a negative goal differential has ever had a Jack Adams winner. The closest I saw was the Senators with Paul McLean, I think it was the name of him, 2013. I think he had a plus 12 goal differential. I think that was the closest one. I wasn't tracking that. I was just looking at the coaches with the negative goal differential. I didn't see anyone. And the Capitals have a minus 26. They would not be sniffing the playoffs in the West, by the way. They're only in the hunt because all the teams in the East suck. at least around where they're at. So I don't think Carberry deserves it. I mean, yeah, he's had an awesome month or two, but where was he in the first part of the season? So I think that would be a travesty of a pick. I mean, I admit he's done a good job. Like, the Capitals team is not good. They have a bunch of scrubs, a bunch of old washed up vets. They lost Kuznetsov. They lost Edmondson and Backstrom early on. But still, this team does not deserve a Jack Adams winner. I do not recommend the bet for yourself. I'm just speaking my own portfolio, but I don't recommend a bet on Carberry because I don't think he's going to win. I'm just balancing my own mental state, you could say, because I'd be fucking destitute if he won and I didn't have anything on him. But yeah, I think the Carberry thing is somewhat legit because he's getting a lot of buzz in the media, which I have to pay attention to. I don't like it, but that's why I had to involve myself there. I don't recommend it. In fact, I recommend, if you're going to attack talk it, you want to go with Andrew Burnett. He's still at 50-1 in some places. Like, I don't know why he's not getting the attention that Carberry is. Like, Burnett's done a far better job with the Predators the way that they've been going. Plus, he's got the narrative of, you know, canceling the U2 concert, and then they kicked off this. Everyone's talking about that. I could see absolutely the voter block getting behind that narrative. So, Brunette, 50-1. I'm going for a long shot. Brunette is actually if Brunette wins, that's my biggest win right now with how much I've been betting him, because I think that his odds should be a lot lower. And the way that Tocchet and the Canucks have been kind of stumbling lately. So, yeah, I mean, I hope Brunette wins at this point. But, yeah, Carberry is just like the a fail-safe, so I don't fucking lose everything if he happens to get the East Coast bias and the recency bias. That shit plays an effect. That's why I have to pay attention to it. So, yeah, that's where I'm at in the Jack Adams Award, which is turning into a bit of a shitstorm.
Yeah, you got to cover your ass with how much you have on Tocchet and other guys. What's Tocchet at now?
Well, he dropped from minus 600 to minus 400, so I don't recommend on minus 400, but we'll see in a couple weeks.
Is Laviolette get any love or not really?
Yeah, he's another option too. He's around 20-1. If the Rangers win the President's Trophy, he could be live. But nobody's really talking about that, so I'm not really confident in that. It should be talking. Like, in my opinion, if I were a voter, I would absolutely vote for Tocchet the way he's turned the team around. Like, you think of Bruce Boudreau's team, like, just all offense, no fucking defense, and less than a year, Tocchet is turning into one of the best defensive teams in the league, 5-on-5. Absolutely. That just speaks to coaching. I think Tocchet deserves the award. He should win the award, but we're not voters, so we can't actually have a sway. We just have to handicap how the actual voters will vote.
Yeah. Maybe Bissonnette was just throwing out Carberry to get Tocchet's odds down. Yeah.
More money on his buddy. There you go.
Yeah. All right. We are brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet directly against anyone on any event with a verifiable outcome. Plus, they got group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. Cut offers lower vig and fully customizable odds. They also handle the payment side of things, so you never have to chase anyone down for money. I saw there today they had a bet whether Diddy will get arrested this week. So you can bet on anything you want there over at Cut. Download Cut today and in the App Store or over at cut.com. That's K-U-T-T. And use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. And Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total, and you can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Sign up today with promo code HGP and get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with promo code HGP to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Must be 18 years or older and present in a state where play through Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
All right, here, going down to the 7 p.m. time slot again. We have the Chicago Blackhawks at the Ottawa Senators. Game itself is in Kanata. Senators are minus 205. Senators' puck line is plus 120. Blackhawks are plus 170. The over-under at 6.5, overpaying off plus 105 with the under at minus 125. Joel, back to you for this this shit show.
One more thing on the Jack Adams. The reason why I brought up the goal differential is because the Capitals have minus 26. And you know who has a better goal differential than the Capitals? The fucking Ottawa Senators, as well as most other teams in the league. So, you know, the Capitals just getting luck with these close wins and all that. So, yeah. Anyway, this one, I'm leaning towards the Blackhawks. This line's actually gone against me. It doesn't happen often, but I bet the Blackhawks at plus 160, plus 170 now. I kind of like that. With the Senators on the back-to-back coming down from or up from Buffalo playing today against the Sabres. Blackhawks, I know they're not great on the road, but they got another road win against the Sharks after going 4-0 down, coming back, winning that one in OT. That was a pretty wild game. Yeah, plus 170. I think the Blackhawks are playing some feisty hockey right now. The best hockey of the season, really, because they're getting a couple guys healthier. Good platform for them to go into next season. So, yeah, the Senators are going to be in a divisional war against the Sabres. Maybe they come back home a bit sleepy. Blackhawks can catch them off guard. Yeah, plus 170, I think, is a good bet with this dog shit affair. And the over 6.5, plus 105. We know what you like to play these non-playoff teams late in the season. They just want to entertain the fans, play some ill or undisciplined hockey. Neither has a really good goaltender. Mrazek's been decent this year. Korpisalo's had his nights, but I think he's playing today. I could be wrong about that. I didn't look at the starting goalies today, but if it's Soderblom, I like the over even more. Is it
it's Korpisalo tonight? Yeah,
Korpisalo. All right, so yeah, over 6.5 and the Blackhawks for me.
Yeah, if there's a time to bet on the Blackhawks on the road, it would be this one. They're 6-28-1, but did just get the win in San Jose that Joel mentioned there. Plus 170 is too high of a price, I think, against the Sens on a back-to-back, although they did win both halves of a back-to-back at the Devils and then at home against the Oilers over the weekend. But I think after battling against Buffalo, I think Chicago plus 170 is the look here. Not really sold either way on a total. I would probably lean under just because I don't think other team can score too much. But yeah, you have the, I don't know, Sens have played a bunch of over games in a row, 5-3, 5-2, 6-2. So yeah, I'll go over 6.5 with you there at plus 105, as well as the Blackhawks at plus 170. All right, going down to 740 here. We have the Detroit Red Wings at the Carolina Hurricanes. Game itself is in Carolina. Hurricanes are minus 230. Hurricanes on the puck line, plus 105. Red Wings are plus 190. Over-under is at 6, overpaying off minus 122, with the under at plus 102 here. I'm going with the Hurricanes. Hurricanes coming off a tough loss in Pittsburgh, tough loss in Washington a few games before that as well. But besides that, they've been pretty good recently. They've been great at home, 24-9-4 this season. Detroit 15-8-2 on the road, back-to-back road losses in Nashville and Washington. They've actually lost at least 6 straight on the road going back to earlier this month. So they're just a much different team at home and on the road. So going with Carolina here, the trouble is where do you find the money? I use them as a parlay piece for a team we'll get to later. Maybe you can use them as a parlay piece with I have them with the Wild. They're big favorites against the Sharks. We'll get to them possibly next game. Maybe trust them on the puck line. I don't see Detroit keeping it
necessarily too close, but you never know with these hurricanes. So yeah, just going to use hurricanes as a parlay piece and a lean to the under, but not a strong play there.
Yeah, coming out the loss against Pittsburgh, you got to fear the Hurricanes bounce back here. They've been one of the arguably the best team in the league since the trade deadline. Maybe tied with the Avalanche, or you could throw the Rangers in there in terms of results. But yeah, Hurricanes have been definitely elite. So that's where I'm going. I know you get the Red Wings with the motivation factor. They're dying to make the playoffs. Supposedly, I don't think they are. I think this team is a dead team walking. Yeah, Hurricanes can put them out of their misery here. I went with the regulation price around -140 with the Hurricanes. I think they handle the Red Wings coming off that loss. And yeah, Red Wings losing to the Capitals, maybe a dream crusher. I know they got the point and all that, but I don't know how much belief this team really has that they're going to be able to do anything in the playoffs anyway. So I think the Hurricanes take care of business here. I wouldn't lay the -230. That's not what I'm looking for. But a cheaper price in the regulation, I think that's the way to go. Because yeah, these big favorites late in the year sometimes it's a bit tricky because we don't always know how much to gauge the motivation in these games. So I would lay the -1.5 or the regulation for the Hurricanes, and yeah, under six +102 the way the Red Wings are playing. And their offense has dried up quite a bit. They got kind of lucky against the Capitals, a couple of goals there. But yeah, generally playing more under games lately. So lean to the under, but stronger on the Hurricanes by margin.
All right, going down to the 8 p.m. times. Yes, we have the San Jose Sharks at the Minnesota Wild. Game itself is in Minnesota. Wild are -355. Wild in the puck line are -135. Sharks +280. Sharks +1.5 is +114. Over under is at 6. Joel, what do you got for the Wild one here?
Nothing here. two teams who know they aren't making the playoffs, but one of them is -355. The automatic lean would be to the Dog +280. But the Sharks are really pathetic. They are bad. I mean, I thought the Blackhawks would end up being the worst team in the league a couple months ago, but no, the Sharks have taken it to a new depth. they're facing some real pressure volumes down at the bottom of the ocean, the way that they're plummeting down. Yeah, Sharks are terrible. I can't trust them. I mean, that's the only way I could look, though. I'm not playing -355 with the Wild, who, you know, there's no way they're making the playoffs now after losing to the Blues, and then the Knights keep getting results. And even in that Blues Knights game, they both got a point there. So the Wild would need a miracle, absolute miracle, to make the playoffs at this point. Maybe they still believe it. Maybe that makes them come out strong here. But I don't trust them. I'm not betting this game, to be honest. But I would lean to the Sharks +280. But I'm not touching this with a 10-foot pole here. Technically, I guess these are two non-playoff teams, so you look to the over. But this game is not for me. This one is not for me. Big pass.
Yeah, as I said, I had the Wild in that parlay with the Hurricanes there, paying off -120. I think the Wild are still just a much better team than the Sharks. Wild have the 8th best expected goals share in the last 10 games. Sharks are the 7th worst. Sharks are shit on the road, 626-4. But yeah, you can't lay -355. I'm a little bit nervous about the parlay, but I think the Wild get it done here at home. Sharks have been allowing a lot of goals recently, especially on the road, allowed 5 to the Blackhawks twice. So maybe a Wild race to 4, team total over 3.5, if you are looking for a way to get that price down. All right, we're going down to 8 p.m. time slot again. We have the Vegas Golden Knights at the Winnipeg Jets. Game itself is in Winnipeg. Jets are -135. Golden Knights are +114. Over under is at 6. Over paying off +105. With the under at -125 here. Jets in a bit of a rut. Not sure what's going on up there in Winnipeg. We were pumping their tires, and now they've lost 4 in a row. 3 at the end of that road trip, and then returned home and blew that lead against the Oilers, right? They were winning that one, I'm pretty sure.
No, they came back.
Back and forth game there, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, they've now lost 4 in a row. Vegas has turned it around. They had a tough loss in Nashville on the back-to-back. They blew that lead. I know that. Nashville came back in that one. Still four-game point streak for Vegas. Vegas, I think, is kind of gelling right now. They've been out shooting teams 34-32, 47-22, 35-35 against Nashville. So they're coming together. They're mostly healthy, I want to say, besides Petrangelo's out with an illness. But besides that, they're pretty healthy. And they've just dominated the Jets ever since last playoff series. They won 5-3 and 5-2 earlier this year. So I'm going with Vegas as the road dogs here, plus 114. Could see the Jets come back after in their second game back home, but I think they're a little bit too big of a favorites for this one.
Yeah, definitely going against you here. You know my opinion on the Knights, not a great team. I mean, they were outplayed by the fucking Blues on Monday. I was lucky to escape with an OT winner there because the Knights are fucking lucky. That's what they are. They get the jackpot all the time. Yeah, Jets, meanwhile, yeah, you're right. They're in a bit of a rut. They're not playing great. They had a tough road trip after beating the Blue Jackets like 6-1, and they luckily beat the Rangers and then got stomped by the Islanders. And you know, there's another team in there they lost to. And then coming back home, close game against the Oilers. Oilers are the better team, but still, Jets were competitive there. I think they make a fight of this, definitely. I think they're the better team. Golden Knights did not like what I saw from them against the Predators. I know that they're on the back-to-back, whatever. They were playing the Blues the night before in an OT game. You can make excuses, but giving up a 4-1 lead, or it was a 3-0 and then 4-1. Predators have come back. I mean, what a heroic team. I'm really a big fan of them. Yeah, for this one, though, I like the Jets quite a bit. Yeah, we're at home. Desperate for a win after three straight losses. Is it four? Three or four, anyway. And the Golden Knights are just, I don't believe in them. Even they're like the one game I think they deserve to win in the past while was when they lost against the Lightning. Other than that, I think they've been outplayed by a lot of these teams. So I know that they're winning some games, but yeah, now they're well, Aiden Hill, they're playing Logan Thompson, who's excellent against the Blues, to be fair, but still. Not a fan of the Knights at all. So give me the Jets here, -135. No real feel for the total. I mean, Hellebuck's got to get it together here if he wants to maintain his Vezina campaign. I mean, he's probably won it already, but if he keeps letting in 3-4 goals a game, he might be in some trouble. But the problem is that there's not really anyone who can contend, thanks to Demko getting hurt, which really it was unlucky for those of us betting Demko early in the year, because there would be an opportunity if the Canucks had Demko right now. But sadly, that's not the case. So, yeah, it's no play on the total, but I do like the Jets money line.
All right. Oh, I'm getting deja vu here with not believing in the Golden Knights heading into the playoffs. It seems like last year all over again.
Doubling down, baby. Doubling down.
All right, we are brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame Bets' revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. All right, we're going down to the 8 p.m. time slot again. We have the Calgary Flames at the St. Louis Blues. Game itself is in St. Louis. Blues are -135. The Flames are +114. Over under is at 6, overpaying off -105, with the under at -115 here. I'm doing it again. I'm going back to the Blues here at home, -135. They're just a different animal at home, 21-12-2. They're still somehow in the playoff race, even though the Golden Knights are winning some games there. And the Flames seems to have finally flamed out. They just lost in Chicago, lost four straight, including the Buffalo, Vancouver, and Washington, lost seven of their past nine games. It seems like trade deadline came and went, and then so did the Flames trying to play good hockey. So going with the Blues here at home, -135 to keep their slim playoff hopes alive. And also going with the under here. Flames have not been scoring many goals recently. I believe Markstrom is back, so should see a decent goalie battle here between Binnington and Markstrom.
Yeah, Flames continue to bewilder me. Thought they had a good bet there with the Flames over 85.5 points. It's looking good for a minute. And then they lose to the fucking Blackhawks, and that was a real killer. Now the total is down to 83.5. It's not looking good. I mean, I was thinking they you know, a bunch of young guys coming up. They play hard, whatever. But for whatever reason, they're not playing good hockey. I mean, they're still okay offensively. They're just not getting the puck in the net, which is also reminiscent of last year. But also not getting the goaltending now with Markstrom Barry playing, and their defense is as bad as ever. So I would lean to the Flames here, but I can't trust them at this point. So unfortunately, I got to go with the Blues with their faint hopes of playoffs still alive, and they are a team that you have to figure would fight to the death. So sadly, I have to go with the Blues here. I haven't bet this game. Oh, actually, I bet the over. I bet the over in this game, minus 105. I think that this one could be high scoring with the way the Flames defend, and they still have some potent offensive threats here and there. They just need to, you know, get the finishing touch for once. And the Blues, I know they got some good goaltending, but they're great off the rush. So they could capitalize on the Flames' weak defense that way. So over 6 would be my favorite bet in this game. Lean to the Blues for a side.
All right, going down to the 9 p.m. time slot, we got the New York Rangers at the Colorado Avalanche. Game itself is in Colorado. Avalanche are minus 162. Rangers are plus 136. Over-under is at 6.5, overpaying off minus 105 with the under at minus 115. Joel, what are your Avs going to do here?
Extremely high stakes in this one. We are sweating the Avalanche to win the Central and the Rangers to lose the Metro, to lose the President's Trophy, but that's not looking great right now. The Rangers have an easy schedule after this game. But yeah, I'm going to continue to fade the Rangers. I mean, the Avalanche coming off that loss against the Canadiens, they're going to be bound up for this one. Two tough performances, too, like going down 4-0 against the Penguins. I know they had an awesome end of the second and third and overtime against the Penguins, but going down 4-0 is not ideal, and then losing to the Canadiens, also not great. So Avalanche coming back strong here. Rangers are sitting fat and happy at the top of the division, top of the NHL. Not a great spot. I mean, the Rangers have been the beneficiaries of a lot of lucky shit. So love the Avalanche to win this game. Better team. McKinnon's going for it. Yeah, he continues to threaten Gretzky's record of 40 home games in a row with a point. Thankfully, he scored a minute in the last one because the Avalanche didn't score after that against Montreal. So I didn't have to sweat that one out, but I think that he'll get a couple on this one as they dominate the Rangers. Also like the over 6.5, the way that Rangers play. I know they got some better goaltending lately, but two excellent power plays. I think we should see some back and forth, north-south hockey quite a bit here. A lot of two odd man rushes. So over 6.5. And the Avalanche now, you can find a lot better than minus 162 out there. But even at minus 162, I'd still bet the Avalanche.
Yeah, not too much to add here. You know, I always talk about the Avalanche's home ice advantage, 28-7-0 at home, coming off that tough loss against Montreal. So they'll definitely be up for this one. And the Rangers, yeah, they're very fragile. I feel like at the top of the league here, they would have lost against the Flyers if the Flyers had any more talent than just that one line. Barely beat the Panthers in a shootout here. So I do also like the draw here, plus 350 or better. Their one meeting this season did go to overtime. The Rangers winning 2-1. But I do like the over here as well. Rangers, Shesterkin hasn't looked great. Bit of a revenge game here for Gorgiev, but I see quite a few goals on both sides. So possibly even an alt total over. But yeah, Avs minus 162 and a lean to the over and the draw. All right, going down to 9 p.m. again here. We have the Los Angeles Kings at the Edmonton Oilers. Game itself is in Edmonton. Oilers are minus 155. Kings are plus 130. Over-under is at 6, overpaying off minus 120 with the under at plus 100 here. Looks like we could be getting another Oilers-Kings playoff series unless the Kings fall and Knights pick it up here a little bit. Those two teams seem pretty locked in at the 2 and 3 seeds, which, you know, sure, give us another one. That's fine. But not sure what to do here. Edmonton coming home from a 3-game road trip. They went 1-2 with that win in Winnipeg on Tuesday night. LA has been playing good hockey, 1-4 in a row against Tampa, then at the Canucks here. Just kick off their road trip. Don't really have too strong of a lean here either way. I would probably lean to the Kings here a little bit just to get the dog price at plus 130. But Edmonton's been so good at home, 23-8-3. I'm probably not going to end up betting this one, but I do like the under six. Just looking at the Oilers' recent games, and maybe I don't like the under six. So just lean to the Kings, lean to the under. Nothing betting for me.
I bet the Kings. I think this is more of a coin flip game. Kings are playing good hockey lately. I think that they can shut down McDavid and co. with their elite center play, great forward defensive play. And yeah, Arvidsson, they still haven't lost with him in the lineup. My God, Victor Arvidsson, he's played well. He wasn't too great in Vancouver, but generally speaking, like he provides a little bit of a spark for this team that lacks a lot of spark. So yeah, Everson Arvidsson's come back. Kings look like a new team, so I'm encouraged by that. Need to get to over 100.5 points. Got a lot invested there, and hopefully that continues here with a win against the Oilers. Come back from the long road trip, or not long, three games, whatever, but still, it's a tough one after losing to the Leafs in a brutal fashion and the Senators and having to scrape out an OT win against the Jets. Give me the Kings here all day long, plus 130. And yeah, like yourself, lean to the under six. The way the Kings play, they just want to neutralize the opponent. We'll figure the rest out later. I haven't bet the total, but yeah, just give me Kings money line.
Yeah, I do also like the draw on this one. I think it could be going to overtime. All right, going down to 10 p.m. here. We got the Dallas Stars at the Vancouver Canucks. Game itself is in Vancouver. Canucks are minus 108. Stars are minus 112. Over-under is at 6, overpaying off minus 115 with the under at minus 105. Joel, you got your Canucks here.
Yeah. I need the Canucks to win this game. We need to shut the Stars down. They played a bunch of easy opponents lately, of course, an easy stretch to end this year. And the Canucks are one of their last difficult opponents on the road here. This is a tough game for them. Canucks need to shut them down. I like that the Canucks are coming off the loss to the Kings. Should get an A-plus effort here. It's funny. People are whining and moaning and crying in the streets because Demko has placed on LTIR. Even though it's obviously retroactively just to activate Archie Baines, it's all caps, caps based nonsense, paperwork, whatever. Demko should be fine for the playoffs. No worries there. But for this game, love the Canucks. Lindholm actually is the more concerning issue. He's injured. I doubt he plays in this one. So that's something to monitor going forward. But still, Canucks have a lot of depth to make up for that. And yeah, much better 5-5 play defensively for sure. They just need to limit the power play opportunities for the Stars. And yeah, just Casey DeSmith needs to play an average game because the Stars goaltending has been anything but elite lately. Average at best for sure. I mean, Ottinger maybe slightly better lately, but not too confident in his performances. So yeah, I like the Canucks here even still. I need them to win this game. I bet them to win. So I'm doubling down on that. And I mean, we got an over team versus an under team for the total. It's basically bang on. 6 is the right number. I like Canucks under, Stars over. So yeah, maybe it's correlated. Canucks win, they stifle the Stars offense and it goes under. If the Stars win, they turn it into a shootout and it goes over. So if you like the Stars, you put the over, Canucks under, whatever. But for myself, it's just the Canucks money line.
Yeah, I'm going the other way here. I'm going with the Stars minus 112. Pretty much a pick 'em here. I know neither team has really played too tough of a schedule recently, but the Stars have been getting more results when winning 5 in a row, even though it was probably too tough of a game in San Jose. They let the Sharks come back a few times in that one. But I think the Stars here are getting ready for the playoffs. They're loading up here a little bit. Don't necessarily trust DeSmith too much. So yeah, I'm going with the Stars minus 112 and I'll lean to the under. I could see Ottinger and DeSmith only allowing 2 goals each. I could see a 3-3 regulation, which is what you said, spot on at 6. But yeah, going with the Stars and the under here. All right, 10 p.m. time slot again here. Nashville Predators at the Arizona Coyotes. Game itself is in Mullet Arena in Arizona. Coyotes are plus 145. Predators are minus 175. Over-under is at 6. Both the over and the under paying off minus 110 here. I really want to back Nashville in this one. I don't know if minus 175 is is too steep for me, though. They're just the much better team right now. They haven't lost in regulation since that fucking concert was canceled. Arizona at home, though, is always tough. But looking at their recent games, they've only beat bad opponents. They beat Columbus. They beat Seattle. Devils at home. Red Wings at home. And the Preds have been battling everyone they play. They've been pretty much big comeback win against Vegas. Pretty wins by margin over other teams they play here. So 175 is a bit much. You can get minus 162 still out there at FanDuel. I do like that a bit better here. Yeah, the Coyotes are home, but I don't see them getting it done here. So yeah, give me the Preds minus 175. Lean to the under.
Right. Yeah, I mentioned Brunette, Jack Adams. So obviously I need them to win a lot of games going forward. And then the Predators have a manageable schedule, and that starts with this one. Yeah, the Predators all day long. They're a much better team. I know the Coyotes are a bit of a vibe thing going on now. I love to see Josh Doan, Jack Doan, Shane Doan's son came in his first game, scored two goals. The fucking Doan suite was going nuts. Somebody had his shirt off. Love to see that. I mean, this is a guy that was panned as sycophant. He's a sycophant. He's just because he's a what's the fucking word I'm looking for?
Can't help you.
No, because his dad's an organization. That's why they picked Josh Doan.
Nepotism.
Nepotism. That's the one. But he proves him wrong. First game in the lineup and scores two goals. Love to see that. So yeah, the place is bouncing there against the Blue Jackets, though. We're getting a much better team in the Predators to face off against. I don't know. I think the Predators just stomp them here. I know the Coyotes are better at home for whatever reason, but Shadow Realm and all that shit. But Predators are used to that by now. Give me the Predators all day long, under $2. No problem. No play on the total.
All right, going down to the final game on the docket here. Closing out with a doozy. Got the Anaheim Ducks at the Seattle Kraken. Game itself is in Seattle. Kraken are minus 230. Kraken on the puck line, plus 114. Ducks are plus 190. Over-under at 5.5. Overpaying off minus 115 with the under at minus 105. Close us out here, Joel.
Well, we just saw this game yesterday. And what happened? 4-5-0 for the Crack. And the line naturally adjusted the Kraken or what? Minus not 190, minus 200 in that game. Now it's minus 230. Makes sense because the Ducks can't fucking score unless they're at home against a shitty team. Or again, it's the Lightning. For some reason, they took them to overtime. Mm-hmm. Lightning were in a back-to-back there, of course. But yeah, Kraken finally broke their losing streak. Maybe they're just playing for pride now, of course, because they know they're out of the playoffs. They can, I don't know, readjust their expectations and just play out the season accordingly. Much better team, but I'm not backing them to win the game. I didn't bet this one. If anything, I bet the end of the first one. Might not go back to the well. It's a depreciated number here at 5.5, minus 105. But that's still the way I would lean, given the fact that Ducks just don't have a lot of offense. And they can at least play the trap. Well, they don't like to get blown out too often. So they just play the 1-3-1. All the time, and that'll play into the hands of the under. I mean, unless it just, I don't know, I didn't watch the game, so maybe there's some bad blood in the first one, they get some more penalties and whatnot. But no, two soft Pacific Division teams, I don't see that happening too often. So I didn't bet this game, but if anything, I would just lean to the under here.
Yeah, I was on the Ducks last night in that one because they were getting Zegras back. They're pretty healthy now. McTavish, everyone's playing for them. Leo Carlson, but yeah, they got 12 shots on goal against Seattle. Lost
12
shots on goal. So you can't back the Ducks here at plus 190, but you also can't back the Kraken at minus 230. Maybe a Kraken puck line plus 114. But yeah, I think under 5.5 would possibly be the only play here. Minus 105. Anaheim can't score. Seattle isn't going to score too many themselves. So, yeah, under would be my only play in this one. All right, that's the 14-game slate for Thursday, March 28th. Got some consensus plays here. We got the Islanders, Panthers under 6, minus 105. Flyers minus 155.
You see the score in the Senators Sabres game?
4-0 Sens.
4-0 Sens. 9 minutes in. Oh, I didn't bet this game, but fuck, that's funny.
Yeah. I got the Flyers, -155. Pittsburgh, either regulation or the puck line there. Carolina, either regulation or I have them as a parlay piece. Blues, -135 is a lean for Joel. Avs, -162. Kings, +130 is a lean for me, but I'll probably end up betting that. And then the Predators, -175. All right, our best bets from last show, which was 2 weeks ago for the 14th. You had the Islanders in Buffalo. They lost 4-0. I had the Golden Knights Flames over 6.5. I think that was a 4-1 final. Both of us coming off loss. You are 20-11, +5.81. I am 16-15, +0.33 units. What do you got for tomorrow, Joel?
Tough one here. Didn't really think about it, but give me the Rangers Avalanche over 6.5, -105.
Not a bad look there. I'm going. It's a bit juicy. I don't like to do too juicy of a player, but I'm going with my Flyers at -155. I think they're gonna come on hungry for 2 points against the inferior Canadiens team up there in Montreal.
I like that one a lot too. That was my second one.
Yeah, I appreciate you saving that one for me then. Any other award stuff you want to touch on? You mentioned that before the show. I'm not sure if there's anything else.
Oh yeah, there's one more. There's one more that a little bit of spicy take here. I didn't bet this, but it's funny. Remember, I don't know, it was about a month ago, 5 weeks ago, we were talking about the top defenseman in the league. Roman Josi was mentioned. Ever since I said he wasn't a top three defenseman, he has been a top three defenseman. Like, this guy has absolutely turned on the Jets, and he is a large reason why the Predators are doing so well lately. So if anyone could usurp the Quinn Hughes supremacy, I think it's Roman Josi. He still can be found at 45-50-1. If you want to take a long shot, I haven't done it myself, but I think that's not the worst bet in the world. I know Quinn Hughes is probably already settled in the minds of the voters. He's already won the award. He's going to win the most likely. He's going to win the points total amongst defensemen. But Roman Josi, the way that he's come on, maybe he just gets the credit instead of Burnett, and I'm just double fucked. But yeah, Roman Josi is an interesting one to monitor for sure, especially with that OT winner against the Knights, which served us both well in that one. Yeah, Roman Josi is someone to follow. I don't think Makar is going to win. Quinn Hughes is should win, I think, and probably will win. But Roman Josi is someone that's the biggest threat.
Yeah, I'm seeing him 20-1 at DraftKings, 25-1 at FanDuel and MGM. And then I might have to bet this 100-1 at Canby Books. I mean, yep. I've been fooled by Roman Josi for Norris before, but
fuck, I was the beneficiary of that time. Watch him come back to bite my ass right when I'm sitting pretty with my Quinn Hughes stuff.
Yeah, I think Hughes has it locked up too. I'm not sure how he's been doing recently, but yeah, I mean,
100-1, absolutely. That's
100-1. If you got to take 100-1 on that, come on.
Yeah. So yeah, he's all over the place. Like offshores, I was looking at 45-51. The legal books, I guess, get a lot more respect for him. But yeah, yeah. Roman Josi is the real deal. And oh yeah, one more future thing I forgot. I remember we were talking last week with the power rankings, the contender tiers. We threw out the Central Division to win the Cup. I did some math, and the best odds I could find on the Avalanche, Jets, and Stars, you Dutch it out. So a Dutch bet is where you you make multiple selections in the same market to equate to like a certain price. It would come out to +318, all the best odds they could find across 10, 11 books. And the Central Division winner, you could still find at +320, +325. I recommend that because you get those teams. Plus, you get the sneaky pick of the Predators involved as well. I mean, I don't think they're going to win, but you get them as a bonus. So, yeah, I think that's a good bet because I like all those teams to make a deep run in the playoffs. Big fan of the Central. The Atlantic is died down. I mean, I'm kind of lower on the Bruins than I was to begin with. I think it's just better off. You're better off just betting the Panthers. Yeah, Central Division, I think, is once again a good bet. As long as you can find +320, +325. Not a lot of books have that number, but you got to shop around and do it. Or you can just eliminate the Jets because I think the Jets are kind of like they're falling off. But Stars and Avs for sure. I'm just finding ways to, you know, get back on the apps in terms of my bankroll and my betting portfolio and my betting interests as well as my fan interests. So that's how I'm doing it. Just betting the fucking Central Division to shit.
Yeah, the best I'm seeing here on just either BetMGM or FanDuel is 260 for the Central, 300 for the Pacific, which, you know, not quite as good as the Central. But
we mention offshores here?
We're not sponsored by anyone, right? Let's go ahead. Sure.
Yeah, Bovada, Bodog, they have plus 325 on Central Division to win. So that's the best price I've found.
Yeah, that's the only division I think that has multiple teams with a real chance, besides the Pacific. But like, not a true believer in any of the Pacific teams. And I think Stars, Avs, Jets all have a legit chance.
Yeah, it's getting tough for the Jets lately, the way they've been playing. Like, are they getting... They were missing Gabriel Villardi for a bit. He's an important piece, but Hellebuck's really got to play better. Like, they're not winning the cup if he's playing like the way he has the last few weeks.
Yeah, that's all it comes down to for them is Hellebuck going to be on or not? All right. Make sure you are subscribed to the Hockey Gambling Podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Leave us a 5-star rating and review if you like what you hear. Make sure you also check us out on YouTube at Hockey Gambling Podcast. Subscribe there. We got some comments from Parker Smith commented on our last show. So that's what you guys look like. Great show, guys. Very entertaining. I'm a longtime listener. So if you don't know what we look like, we sometimes go on video here and look pretty interesting. So make sure you check that out if you haven't already.
Just wait till you see Talon in his PJs or whatever the fuck.
Talon in his corgi, pink corgi hoodie that he always has on. All right. Yeah. Make sure you also follow us on Twitter at HockeySGPN, the Hockey Gambling Podcast website, HockeyGamblingPodcast.com, from our social media assistant producer, and get in the Discord, SG.PN/Discord, or reach out to myself or the Hockey Gambling Podcast Twitter account, and we'll get you in there. All right. I am Ryan Gilbert. You can follow me on Twitter at RGilbertSOP.
And I'm Joel Meyer. You can find me lamenting the last bet I threw out on last show with Oregon plus 5.5. That one should have cashed. It took the double overtime. The Gorge, the Ducks are covering the whole fucking way. The Crane just kept managing to score in the final seconds and push it to another overtime. Then they fucking blew up the Ducks in the double overtime there. So I do not regret giving that one out. That was the right side, absolutely. And I'll give out another one. Illinois plus 110 on the money line against Iowa State. We're going with Illinois offense to just overwhelm the Iowa State pathetic offense. You know, Iowa State's got a better defense, but fuck that. Illinois all the way. Let's go Bears.
Is that Thursday night?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, cool. I'll be on it. All right. See ya.